Okay, welcome once again to the Legion of Reason Diversion. I am your host, the Supreme Reverend Dr. Randy Tyson, and we are podcasting A Critical Eye on a sometimes less than critical world. And we have another potpourri episode this time. We'll have a guest on for the next episode, but grab yourself in the meantime a glass of wine, I have, and sit back as we regale you with tales of lunacy. We have a bunch of hijab stories, but I mean, continuing on from the last with that hijab cutting that turned out to be a hoax in Toronto. There's a University of Toronto study that's supposed to be published that ended up in the news, and I haven't seen it yet, but I have questions. And what else we got? Oh, we want to definitely talk about the Jordan Peterson, Kathy Newman interview. Oh gosh, it's a whole whack of stuff. I'm here with my co-host Christine, the internally misogynized Christine, and this is not going to work very well, is it? Come on, be nice. There we go.
Kind of. I can't see on camera.
No, you can't, because it's okay. Yeah, because it's really annoying. Yeah, is it because Skype changes its configuration, like the layout? Like I should actually redo that window region. Let me do this. I'll add a widget. Skype video, and then I will put this in here. Oh yeah, there we go. Hey, that actually works. Well. Okay, so there you are. We can see you properly on the screen.
Yeah. Hello.
Yes.
Quit dragging me around.
Good. Good. I'll have to keep that up there for next time. And okay. Well, you had. Let's just first things first. Let's talk about the debate that you were in on Monday.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think? Monday and Tuesday. Yeah. What did you think?
Unfortunate for the technical difficulties.
Yes.
your
it made it a little bit awkward, but MRU went better the next day.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably have more nerds there or something. The audiovisual club. And I attended the Monday night one. Our gay correspondent, Shane, was with us, and I was the guy was full of sophistry. I mean, it was just believers would buy into the arguments that were being presented.
Yeah. I don't know. I have to say that obviously I studied up and that kind of thing and knew in advance what his arguments were going to be. So I was able to kind of preempt them, especially because I went first and that kind of thing. But, you know, afterward, he and I talked, and he basically said I made some really good points and really put him on the spot. So I think that was really, really flattering. And I see, like, a change in his approach over, you know, the videos I studied to what he's doing now. And I thought that was growth and acknowledging that our viewpoint kind of thing, right? So I think it was friendly. And
I had some really good discussions with people afterwards. But the question that I asked in the Q&A was, your opponent was presenting the argument that evolution only produces nastiness. And I'm like, no, that's not true.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not true. And it went right over his head.
Like evolutionary psychology, I think is, yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's an alternative explanation, obviously, too. You know, you have to be good. Like, where does our morality come from, right? I think it's an evolutionary fact that we evolved morality.
Yeah, we did, we've improved on the basics, right? So it's not like we're stuck in the evolutionary behavior. We can actually think and apply logic and to how should we act to each other to foment well-being between all of us. And I mean, this whole thing. One person I know I scored a point at the bar afterwards, and it was the whole idea of redemptive suffering, or not, well, redemptive. You know, Jesus died on the cross, etc., blah blah blah, to pay for our sins. Well, that's not a, I pointed out that's not a moral thing, and he was saying, well, if I left and didn't pay my bill, and he paid it, he would have paid for, you know, my crime. Problem is, that's not correct. No one in our legal system, no one can pay for anybody else's crime. I pointed this out by saying, okay, let's up the ante a bit. Let's say I murdered your sister, and so if somebody else copped to the murder, and it was found out later on that I had done it, would they say, oh, well, this other guy paid for your crime? Well,
yeah.
Hell no.
Yeah, no kidding.
No,
yeah, exactly.
So going back to the restaurant thing where I left without paying my bill, there was still a crime that was committed. Just because somebody else paid for it, the restaurant is just likely not to pursue, right? That's not the same thing as absolving somebody. So, I mean, the whole redemptive, vicarious redemption that Hitchens says is totally immoral, and I agree. Even without the whole snuff aspect of it.
Well, suffering. Yeah. That would be the suffering aspect.
Yeah. It's an immoral act. So I'm responsible for my actions. Nobody else is responsible for my actions. I'm responsible for my actions. And that's the thing about secular morality, that people that believe they get the morality from the Bible don't understand.
Yeah, it's interesting because I had a conversation with my Christian cousin just a couple of days ago, and she was saying how much she admires atheism because it's a more genuine, you know, you are accountable in the here and now,
And we're accountable. But they're always saying, well, you have to be accountable to something. Well, I am. I'm accountable to society. I'm accountable to my wife. I'm accountable to my friends. Yeah, you know, I'm accountable to a lot of, you know, not even outside of purely legal accountability.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But I think I scored some pretty good points that way. I think.
Yeah.
I could see the light bulbs start to flicker on. I'm like, I gotcha. You know it.
Yeah.
I had another discussion with somebody else, and she was talking about she's a nursing student, and she was talking about the social sciences classes that she's had to take, and steeped in postmodernism, and my face must have been like dreadful, because you know what I think of postmodernism, right? I think it's absolutely bogus philosophy. It's worse than that. It actually harms people. And so she was saying, she was thinking that I was
taking to extremes, right?
I think postmodernism even a little bit. No, I can't. The more I learn about postmodernism, the more I abhor it. It is empty. It is anti-science. It is anti-skepticism.
Well, we could argue that, but I understand where you're coming from for sure, right? In terms of whether it's been, you know, sort of progressive and advancing our understanding versus whether fundamentally
it advances our understanding of what not to do. That's how it's like communism, same thing. Like, you get these idiots out there like Dan Earl who are saying communism will prevail, and I'm just like, well, how many hundreds of more millions of people have to die before you figure out it's empty as a political theory? Anyway, that out of the way, gosh, what have we got for stories here. I'm going to go to... Oh, yeah. The Jordan Peterson thing. Yes, the Jordan Peterson thing.
How not to do an interview. Wow, that was just like...
Is that amazing?
Cringeworthy. Wow. So you're saying.
Oh, like, yeah.
Wow. No, he's not saying that at all.
Well, you know? Here. You want to hear that? Everybody must know by now the whole Jordan Peterson thing with on Channel 4 in... BBC in London, Jordan Peterson was interviewed by Kathy Newman, and this abominable interview. Like, here, I'm going to play something here. Here we go.
So you're saying women have some sort of duty to sort of help fix the crisis of masculinity?
Well, it depends on what they want.
Right, so you're saying you've done your research and women are unhappy dominating men.
I didn't say they were unhappy dominating men. I said it was a bad long-term solution.
Right, so you're saying you've done your research and women are unhappy dominating men.
I didn't say they were unhappy dominating men. I said it was a bad long-term solution.
But you're saying basically it doesn't matter if women aren't getting to the top because that's what's skewing that gender pay gap, isn't it? You're saying, well, that's just a fact of life. Women aren't necessarily going to get to the top.
No, I'm not saying it doesn't matter either.
So you're saying that by and large, women are too agreeable to get the pay rises they deserve.
No, I'm saying that that's one component of a multivariate equation.
But why shouldn't women have the right to choose not to have children or the right to choose those demanding careers?
They do. They can. Yeah, that's fine.
But you're saying that makes them unhappy, by and large?
No, I'm not saying that.
So you're saying that anyone who believes in equality, whether you call them feminists, call them whatever you want to call them, should basically give up because it ain't going to happen?
Only if they're aiming at equality of outcome.
You don't believe in equal pay?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Well, you were saying that intelligent and conscientious by implication are not female traits.
No.
I mean, that's very dangerous territory.
I'm not saying that at all.
You got in trouble for refusing to call trans men and women by their preferred personal pronouns.
No, that's not actually true. I got in trouble because I said I would not follow the compelled speech dictates of the federal and provincial government.
Yeah, he had to correct her so many times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't mind somebody saying, so what you're saying is, if they're recapitulating what you've actually said in a more compact form, that's a good interviewing technique. She was projecting, like, wow.
Yeah.
What a horrific interview. She did not understand the nuance and the specific language that he was using to discuss matters like the wage gap, the gender wage gap, and et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, that's before we even get to the whole lobster thing. that's a big meme now is Jordan Peterson and the lobsters. But, you know, she doesn't understand that when she says, you know, we should be more like lobsters then. No. What he's saying is that biology has sensitized social animal species using neural pathways that use serotonin as a neurotransmitter. And it's just right over her head. And the unfortunate thing was that Kathy Newman received death. Well, we're told that she received death threats. I'm sure that she received a lot of abuse. And you shouldn't do that. I mean, I didn't do that. Even though I thought it was a horrible interview. I mean, she
ought to be criticized as a journalist, but she certainly shouldn't be threatened. You know, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah.
I've got this article here. This the Daily Mail writes this. Channel 4 News presenter Kathy Newman is rocked by death threats over a row with, quote, anti-feminist, unquote. Now, who's describing? I'd like to know who said anti-feminist. You know, what kind of feminism? Wrote this, Chris Hastings for the Daily Mail. you should be ashamed of yourself. This is sensationalism. Sick messages posted online after the interview on Tuesday included RIP Kathy Newman and Kathy Newman, we know where you live.
Well, that's ridiculous. Obviously, no one condones that shit.
Yeah, no.
But, honest criticism.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm sure she looked back on that, especially that kind of, when Jordan Peterson said to her, got you, and she was, going on about why should you have the right to, your freedom of speech?
I'll play the actual clip here. Here it is.
That was like a brilliant moment.
Why should your right to freedom of speech trump a trans person's right not to be offended?
I can't figure out where is that right to not be offended specifically, and not even specifically to trans people. Where is that enshrined?
Well, there is no such thing.
Of course not. Right? There's no such thing.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
What a daft thing to say.
And so, I mean, I've been offended by things, and so I've been offended and I've moved on, right?
Sure.
I'm not going to go in, you know, if I'm offended, I might say why. If somebody's cracking a racist joke in front of me, I might say I'm offended, shut the fuck up or something like that. But, you know, I can either, sometimes I'm offended for stupid reasons, and sometimes I'm offended and I can speak out and articulate exactly why I'm offended, right?
Yeah.
Argue your point.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, with words, you know, not threats.
Use your words.
Yeah,
exactly. And let me try this green capture thing. I got to get you in here somehow.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry about it if you can.
There we go. Now we got you finally. It's bugging me. I'm anal that way, son. Yeah. So that was the whole Jordan Peterson debacle. And mm-hmm. It was all over, of course, in the anti-social justice world. And all over the place. Even Rex Murphy was talking about it.
Okay.
And,
I didn't see that, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody was talking about it. Well, play the end of that, because what he said back to her was really...
I didn't record that. I would have handled it differently.
It was a great answer, you know. How would you handle it differently?
Well, I would have told her straight up that, no, there is no such right to not be offended.
Well,
done.
I think he... By virtue of example, he illustrated that much more clearly than just saying that sentence could possibly do, right? It's like a hitch slap or, you know.
Yeah, she was kind of at a loss for words. For the
only, yeah. Cause she,
only time in her life, apparently.
Well, you know, she realized right then, and you could see her realizing her own hypocrisy, right? And so yeah. I think, you know, saying, oh, you know, nobody has the right to, you know, not be offended versus what he did, was cognitive whack upside the head, basically, right?
Yeah. So I think, because we can say that's all done. Is Twyla still isn't on? I wonder where she is tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yes. What else we got? Oh, the atheist convention in New York, TAC.
Oh yeah.
The atheist convention. Atheist. The atheist.
That's
convention.
Interesting.
conference, yeah. Yeah, that maybe it did cross my radar last year. But there's probably a good reason why it kind of left my head. And you'll figure
well,
you'll
it looked like
why.
They had a pretty good lineup of speakers.
Did
but,
they?
Well, I think David Silverman was going to be there. And, people started backing out, right? So obviously that took, you know,
lineup. Yeah. It's kind of interesting claims about having some very big name celebrities.
Well, there was that too, you know.
That maybe not. But yeah, Justin Schieber was going to be there. But I think that might be a detriment to it. Well, the big thing that killed it was handing over. This is amazing. This blew my mind.
Oh, yeah.
Was handing over a panel discussion and who was going to sit on that panel about how to connect back, like cross the bridges of the rift that has happened because of social justice. And they gave that carte blanche to Steve Shives. What could go wrong?
Yeah, and he got to set the panel up because he refused to engage with people who disagreed with him. And
that should have been the first red flag.
Like,
that should have been strike 1, 2, and 3. No.
Well, then I think I read something about one of the organizers was going to basically challenge him and that panel.
Oh, yeah. But, he was the moderator. So moderators don't get to challenge anything. They just get... to moderate.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So where's the, you know, like this is going to be a homogeneous panel of social justice. Oh, well, everybody just should become social justice-y like us. And then there'd be no problem.
I guess that's fine for like one panel, but you know.
But yeah, you know, well, why have a panel?
A lot of negative attention.
Why have a panel? You could just have Steve Shives. It's the same thing. If you're going to have a panel of people that are slapping themselves on the back, you know, congratulatory, like, oh yeah, we've solved the problem of the atheist community. No, these are the people who created the problem to begin with. It's silly.
And
they didn't think this would become a problem. It's just amazing. It's like, wow.
I'm monitoring, excuse me for interrupting, but I'm monitoring things, and Twyla is not feeling very well tonight, so that's why she's...
Okay. Oh, get well, Twyla.
Yeah.
What were they thinking? I mean, that's just absolutely silly. And you might want to mute your mic when you do that.
Yes, I'm sorry. There we go. I'm trying to handle, you know, communication, and this is the nature of... When there's only two of us on, too, it's a little bit more difficult,
staccato.
Right?
Yeah. It's more staccato.
So sorry, everybody, for the keyboard clicks.
Speaking of social justice, this is probably going to be a fairly short episode tonight. Speaking of social justice, here we go. This is unbelievable. The White Privilege Conference.
Oh. Now, I think... My big problem with that is that it's called the Global White Privilege Conference. But if you look at the lineup of speakers and the topics, what's missing from there?
White people.
I dare say. No.
There's a token one. There's a token white person.
No, they're all from North America. They're all from Canada and the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see female genital mutilation. I don't see, you know, certain issues that are actually global that are on this conference, right? And
But that'd be Islamophobic.
I guess it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Criticizing female genital mutilation, that's, you know, we shouldn't do that, should we?
So here's who should attend. I love this. Students and educators. College, university, faculty. Aren't they educators? And higher education professionals. Corporate and nonprofit professionals. Activists, artists, social workers, counselors, and healthcare workers. And this one. Members of faith and spiritual communities? What? But nobody else apparently should attend.
I don't think they're saying that.
Yeah, but
you know,
I
could probably
attend. No, you know what? As a better way of doing that, I would say, and I hope they don't do this because that would make it more reasonable. sound more reasonable, I should say. It wouldn't make it more reasonable. It would just make it sound more reasonable. I mean, like anybody who has an interest in the global effects of white people, you know, like. Something like that, but not quite so nasty, right?
It's not necessarily the case that elsewhere on the globe, it's necessarily white privilege.
Oh, yeah.
There are other people oppressing other people. You know, like the biggest victims of Islam are Muslims themselves. And this is nothing whatsoever to do. Well, I suppose you could invoke colonialism or whatever kind of thing, but...
History.
That, yeah, but that doesn't, you know... take away from the fact that there's probably, well, by virtue of population, obviously, too, but there's more slavery in this world right now than there's ever been, right? And, let's just talk about oppression without necessarily assigning...
Only white people can be oppressors.
Yeah.
That's by definition, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, with it, when your head is up your North American ass, that would seem to be the case, right? You know.
Yeah.
When you're not willing to look as the title of the conference says, if you're not looking from a global perspective, you're going to. And that's not to say that those issues aren't legitimate and need to be talked about and addressed as well. But when you frame yourself as a global conference and the absence of who's on your speakers list is really quite stunning. I have an issue with that, right?
Yeah.
I
have an issue with the topics too.
Again, from a North American perspective, I can see where, sure, let's talk about that stuff for sure, right? But it's not like it's not already out there in the public realm and we don't kind of already I'm not saying that this isn't a legitimate conference with, you know, interesting topics and all that kind of stuff, but I am saying that I am offended when when it's framed as a global conference when it's anything but, right?
Well, okay, first of all, whiteness. This is a topic. This is a potential topic. Whiteness.
Well, it's I think if you can take that as an operational definition to discuss something in the social sciences.
Discuss
and
what?
When you put it out, well,
whiteness? What does it even mean? What
just
does
like,
that even
or
mean?
Or maleness or femaleness. You can frame anything in any way you want. You can,
sure,
you know, make your definitions and it's, well, no, not necessarily, because you can look through the world at that lens and come up with interesting observations about, you know, as a conceptual definition. But when you take it out there and weaponize it to, that's a different thing.
Yeah, but that's
right?
The whole intent of this. It's clear. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what the intent is.
What I'm saying is that, you know, again, I'm going to defend postmodernism here because that wasn't how it started out. And critical theory, that's not how it started out, was to, you know, destroy, to weaponize it. It was meant to be a theoretical construct that, you know, allowed you to look through the world through a different lens and see things from a different perspective, which is never a bad thing. But
well, actually, I would agree with that statement. It can be a very bad thing.
Well, why?
Okay, if you look at the world through Chairman Mao's lens.
If you look at the world through only one lens, that's where you're going to have a problem. If you have the capacity to theorize using multiple lenses, you're going to get a more robust and robust argument. You're going to get a bigger picture of No, but seriously, like obviously, the more points of view you take into consideration when you're trying to formulate an opinion, the better off you're going to be, right? Including the ones that are shitty, because you can reject those. So that I don't find that problematic.
What do you think of the topic of colorblindness? What do you think that's going to be talking about?
I don't know, but
if you hazard it to guess,
I think it would have to do with, if you ignore somebody's identity, that is harmful, right? And so to say, oh, I don't see your color or whatever, that could say, I deny your experiences. Excuse me. I think that's what it kind of boils down to, because I think people say that to assert that they're not discriminating against other people, but how it's received is can be perceived as a
microaggression?
Ignoring somebody's identity, right?
You know. That's not what colorblindness means, though. You know that.
Well, I know, but now it's been taking up again as a different kind of definition.
But the only people that are using that definition are people who are anti-white. That's the whole problem. They're saying, oh, you're just denying my
identity. That's why I'm saying that an operational concept can be abused and turned around as a weapon instead of a genuine lens through which, you know, we ought to understand one another, right? And that simply doesn't further it. That's what I'd say about that.
Intersectionality, of course, that'll be the oppression Olympics right there.
Well, again, this doesn't have... this didn't come out of thin air. This was around the 80s, 90s, and that kind of thing. And it was interesting and thought-provoking, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, whether or not you disagree, if you're, you know, provoked in your thinking, that's a good thing. But weaponizing is not a good thing.
That's a good term for it. Weaponizing these things. It becomes, you know, racism is only whites can be racist because of if the institutions of power are held by white people. And it's like garbage. That hasn't been true for decades.
I would tend to disagree with you, because there is, you know, history, and I don't think that
history is history. History is history.
But
I don't
know that we've properly addressed certain things that have been harmful to, you know, people in the past, you know, couple 300 years or whatever, right?
History again. How long before we stop bashing people over the head with history?
So think about our First Nations people here in Canada. And I do think that that pervasiveness of the unbelievable racism and harm that was done to them still is very much a part of their experience. And I wouldn't want to deny that, right? There are people, you know, I remember when I was a kid, people had aunts and, you know, older sisters who had literally been sterilized. I mean, that's part of our still, you know, our still in our consciousness. And how do you, you know, I know we've, you know, done reconciliation and stuff like that, but how do you, as a culture, overcome that oppression? And like, I understand that. And it's best to try, you know, I've also talked to people from other cultures, like, you know, for example, I have a Chinese friend and he was like, well, you know, all we could do was, you know, own laundromats and fast food places, you know, Chinese food places. And you really don't, you know, like from that take, he's like, you don't hear us complaining, right? I'm just like,
no, and I actually know like Asian people and I don't hear them complaining either.
Right? it felt like it kind of pained me to concede that point, but I had to, like, I just had to, because, you know, once you hear certain perspectives from the people who are, you know, like, for example, when I listen to ex-Muslims and stuff like that, right, I get a very different take than my little PC upbringing as a Canadian, and it changed my mind, you know? So there's nothing, like, the more voices you expose yourself to, the better your opinions are going to be, hopefully.
Oh, sure, sure. I agree. I just think some things are pointless to engage.
Yeah, but you have to write them. I mean, engage them and then write them off as pointless, right? I guess would be my take on it. Because not necessarily, like, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, let's put it that way. Because there were interesting, thought-provoking insights that those series did bring about. It's just, you know, again, they've been, after this much time, they've been incorporated into activism and weaponized, I guess is what I would say.
Well, that's the thing. That's the whole problem. Yeah. You get this, you know, left-leaning academia in the not necessarily the social science, but the liberal arts, you know, like women's and gender studies.
Yeah.
Some of it is so outrageous, and it's just a logical conclusion from really bad premises.
Yeah.
You know, where you start talking, well, there's no such thing as biological sex. I'm like, come on. They talk to a biologist, for crying out loud. You know, it's just, it gets, when does, don't these, I just don't understand how these people don't understand that their hypothesis, or not hypothesis, their assertions, because that's what they are just loony. They're completely divorced from reality. I mean, it's looking through one single lens and saying that that's the way reality is, and it's
okay. But there's been a whole, like I said, this is nothing new. This is like, you know, in around the 80s, 90s, this, you know, third wave feminism, intersectionality, critical studies, what you want to call it, right? This isn't, I forgot my point. What? It isn't new. Sorry, remind me what you just said, because again, I was like looking at.
Well, don't these people, I'm just trying to ask.
No,
do these
because
people
they've got
not
an entire, by now, they've got an entire body of literature to build on and to self-affirm and to take up, you know, yet another ridiculous
grounded.
Claim and.
It's ungrounded.
I know. Well, that's, yeah.
I mean, any philosophy that's ungrounded isn't worth having.
I was going to say, it's a philosophy and not necessarily an empirical endeavor.
No, it's an ideology. Right? I think it's, I'm not sure it's even a philosophy.
Well, okay.
I'd say an ideology.
Well, you know, between the empirical realm and the philosophical realm is what I'm talking about here, right? The realm of ideas versus the realm of, you know, empirically interrogating nature.
But I just... You know, ungrounded ideas, I just throw out. I don't even, when I realize that they're ungrounded, I don't have to
deal with philosophical. If we want to get super deep and philosophical, why do you believe in reality? I mean, we could go down that path and.
Well, yeah,
you know,
and then
right?
become a solid, you know, I just happen
so
to.
So you can get like micromanagey philosophical, and that's fine. But
no, I think it's a waste of time.
I agree that it has become an ideology and possibly, you know, in very many ways a dangerous one, but it's not empirically grounded, and you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's off, you know, you're off past Pluto. And, you know, I think these people hurt themselves. You know, there are real, you know, like you just mentioned, there's real anti-Native racism. There's anti-Black racism. There's
nobody's denying that.
The problem is these people shoot themselves in the foot because they're obviously loony. I mean, to us, to people that require evidence.
But they're not loony to one another. They're not
loony
to one another.
Well, that's the problem, right? They're not doing what you suggest, which is to look through another lens.
Yeah, and it's not like, I don't know, they're standing out there on the street corner with shaved heads and little braids and, you know, selling flowers here. This is academia here, right? Well,
yeah,
you know what
I know.
I'm saying, right? Yeah, yeah.
What is it, 80% of papers which are published in that part of campuses doesn't get cited? Like, it's just...
And the ones that do get cited over and over again have been distorted to probably in ways that those scholars, you know, asserting those claims in the 80s and 90s would not have anticipated, right? They, you know.
I don't know. Bell Hooks, I think she had intentionality, which is, by the way, one of the topics. I think she fully knew what she was doing.
She's a good read. She's an interesting read, and that was very thought provoking back in the day because feminism was essentially, you know, owned by white academics who had privilege, right? That's true. So when you get other voices coming to bear on it, that's you know, it is enlightening, but it's come to the point again where it's all about North American ideals and values and this particular take on it. And there is a global context out there where other forms of oppression need to be discussed, and they're just not being, you know. And that's, who's not on that list and what topics are not being discussed says a lot about that conference, in my opinion.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is being held at Ryerson University. Let me see something here. That rings a bell, right? Oh, yeah. Here's a piece. The radicals have taken over. Academic extremism comes to Canada. Ryerson is in Toronto, and the school of social work at Ryerson University, okay, you know, this is where they had a group called the Black Liberation Collective. They were accusing the director of that school of, quote, this is unbelievable, a violent act of anti-blackness, misogyny, and I love this word, misogynoir. Misogynoir.
Yeah.
I love that word. Oh,
it does sound like a fine perfume or a
it's
lovely
wonderful.
Wine. It's
wonderful. Misogynoir.
I'm drinking it right now.
And this accusation came because the director of the School of Social Work at Ryerson left a meeting where a Black female speaker was giving a talk. And nobody thought to ask him why.
Okay.
They went straight for the throat. You know, maybe he was expecting an important call. I don't know.
Yeah. Or maybe he got texted, hey, your kid's in the hospital, come now, you know.
Yeah. No one knows. And to this day,
nobody interprets things graciously anymore.
Exactly.
Right? You know?
They go straight for the... Yeah. And even if it was, this talk is boring me, I'm going to go take a walk. So what? But then they demand his resignation. Of course, they got it. I'd be like,
oh, wow. Well,
like hell, go away. Get out of my face.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
Grow a spine. Just seriously.
That was very non-gendered of you. I'd say gross set myself, but okay, that's because I'm internally misogynized.
But you can do that. You can do that. You're a woman, and here's the double standard. No one would look at you twice for saying that. Me? Oh, well. Oh, he's a sexist bastard. Hang him.
Of course I'd say that.
You know it's true. Yeah, well you and I would.
I'd say to a woman, grow a set of balls, and I call men whiny little bitches, right? When they're being whiny little bitches. And
Well, you know, when I call somebody a dick, I'm
totally
not
a gender slur on purpose, right?
You know, well, this is the thing that we had a previous co-host. It was he didn't like it very much when I used the word dick. Well, too bad. Because I'm not actually, when I call somebody a dick, I'm not calling them a giant penis. Okay. Yeah. The etymology of a word is irrelevant to its usage.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, you know, we say Thursday. It doesn't mean I think Thor exists, for crying out loud. Gee whiz.
Yeah, but there are certain words that do carry a, you know, history that we don't want to say.
The C word?
Right. Singing more of the N word.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I don't have over time I've had less and less of a problem with the C word because it's lost its meaning as something that's offensive to women.
Well, it never had it. You know, it was never, in some places of the world, it was never offensive.
Yeah, exactly.
Britain,
and so now
Australia,
that we have,
New Zealand.
You know, now we've got social media and I'm like, oh, this doesn't really mean anything elsewhere. It's just, you know,
it's
how
just
doing,
a word, folks. It's just a word.
Yeah. But I had been, you know, like this is something because I grew up, you know, in Canada and broader North America. It was a really offensive word to me, but it's like it's not anymore, right? It's,
yeah, it's hard for me to say.
Part of it was too, part of it, it's not so hard for me to say anymore. It certainly was. But, you know, one of my friends was like, own the word. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. So, exactly. And I think that kind of like, you're kind of right. Like, why am I offended by this word? It's stupid, right? And even still, even if I was offended by it, I certainly wouldn't want to stop people from saying it.
Yeah.
It's not my place.
Who's the language police?
If I were in certain social settings and somebody deployed it in a, you know, really nasty way, I'd probably say, go fuck yourself or whatever. But, you know, in the way that it's become more acceptable, it's not offensive anymore, you know? Like at one time, the word fuck was offensive and it's totally not offensive anymore.
Oh, every second word sometimes is fuck for me.
Yeah, especially in Canada.
Yeah,
I'm surprised how often we drop that. Yeah, fucking raids, man.
Yeah, it's
fucking raids, but
yeah, like there was a few words in Canada that were used all the time. But that one, definitely. I don't know. I swear way too much. I had to stop. Slow down, not stop. I'm never going to stop.
It's surprising how foul-mouthed Canadians are, and I probably didn't realize that until Americans pointed out to me that, holy, you got a bit of a, like, oh my God, like this would be dinner table talk, right, with my family. Drop the F.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't be the case in my family, but in this house, absolutely. It's, I say it all the time. It's just a word. It's just,
mom even dropped the C-bomb not too long ago. She's just like, because she was, you know, discussing a woman who, like a friend of a friend who had been to Saudi Arabia and actually had seen, you know, punishments and that kind of thing. And she was kind of, you know, bragging about it. And my mom just was, the woman's up.
Yeah.
So, you know, and like I said, the F-bomb is just no big deal in my family. But
my
mom to call somebody that. Yeah.
What else we got on our plate? Let me take a look at the Chrome window here. Speaking of that, this really, do you remember this, reading this one? The why social justice warriors are the true defenders of free speech and open debate.
Kinda.
Can you read that with it? I actually did it. I can't believe it. I read it with a straight face. What a load of bullshit. I forgot to start the audio recorder, so I'm going to say it again. Socrates did not believe in a, quote, disinterested pursuit of the truth, unquote, and neither should we. That's an amazing thing to say. Like, from somebody who teaches, this is somebody who's teaching classics and thinks this. This is unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh,
my goodness. So he thinks that Oh, here's another quote. Socratic dialectic, then, as practiced by Socrates and those who followed him, is a form of debate in which new ideas can emerge only after the very best ideas of the very best thinkers have been considered and taken seriously. Well, who figures out a priori what the best ideas are? And how do you do that? Well, of course,
Socratic dialogue.
You use Socratic dialogue. Oh, exactly. I mean, you use the Socratic. I just blew my mind.
I wonder if Peter Boghossian had anything to say on this. Did he?
I never heard anything, but
I bet he has an opinion.
There was actually a rebuttal in Aereo, another website, the Matthew Sears Cower. I like that word, Cower. Getting it wrong on free speech and social justice. And he goes through everything that he says. But, yeah, basically the Sears misunderstands Socrates. Well, no kidding. That is so obvious. He has not a clue. Sears misunderstands social justice expertise, truth, and the university. I totally agree. He's, I don't know. I really think modern social justice, the way it is today, literally poisons people's minds.
And, well, certainly something like that, you know.
and it causes them to hold ideas which are self-evidently false.
Yeah.
You know, they're wrong. They're not true. They're just plain wrong. I mean, not
what's
even
that? You know, you're not even wrong.
Yeah, not even wrong, say that. As Linus Pauling once said. But in this case, he's just wrong. I mean, it blew my mind.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And it's things like this that keep me coming back to social justice and how it is just a caricature of itself.
Because, you know what, awful. the words, social justice, like, of course we're all interested in social justice.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
That's the hook.
Of course we are. Yeah.
That's
and,
the bait.
And rather than... rather than making, you know, like, I don't doubt that there's a lot that Steve Shives and I, for example, would agree on, right? But he's just so alienating and I use him by way of example, but the general slandering of people like, for example, Dave Rubin of the Rubin Report and calling people that they're all right and blah, blah, blah. And it's just simply not true.
Well,
right?
Dave Rubin is nowhere near all right.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not representing the views of
I mean, I could name other people that, you know, that are actually on the left that have been branded as all right. And they're not.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
No, it's because they disagree with the person and they just brand them all right. I mean, it's a way of deflection. They don't have to deal with the actual arguments. If you say, I don't want to get
or you're racist or you're, you know, like words lose their meaning, gets diluted by overuse.
It's like the word Nazi.
Yeah. Oh God.
The Nazi party was disbanded in 1946. There are no more Nazis.
And to use that phrase against people that are, bigoted assholes and that kind of thing, that still doesn't, it trivializes the experiences of those that actually died in the Holocaust and that kind of thing, right? Like I know there's a neo-Nazi movement and that ought to be called out and that kind of thing, but I don't see, you know, gas chambers being set up and shit like that. And I think when you deploy that kind of a word without thoughtlessly, you know, if you deploy that word thoughtlessly, you're really not doing a good service to history. Let's put it that way. You're not taking seriously the lessons that you ought to have learned from studying these things, right? You know, that's my opinion on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stupid Skype. It's got a Weight Watchers 50% off thing instead of your face. I am not endorsing Weight Watchers. Oh, actually, I will endorse Weight Watchers because I think it's actually a good program. But But I'm not getting paid for it.
Watchers.
Why is it giving me this silly thing? Oh my goodness! What's
is it you that's being advertised to, or we've got some kind of
monetization
thing?
Oh, it's going to the wrong. Okay. Oh, I see what it's doing. It's going to the wrong. Okay, let's get rid of that. Let's see me
I get the most bizarre advertisements, like so irrelevant to me. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with your algorithm, right?
Yeah, this thing is really driving me nuts. Let's put you up there. Oh, no. Okay, it's not right. What a load. Oh, this is annoying. This is going to be murder to edit.
Oh, crappy.
Yeah. Let me see screen capture. Put a screen capture here. Ah, jeez. No, remove that. Put an ad. No, I don't want to rename it. Just get rid of it. Go away. Okay. Add screen capture. There we go. There. Okay. Stupid thing. Anyway, so that's been, that I couldn't believe the complete lack of understanding of what Socrates was driving at, Socrates. It was an amazing piece to read. I mean, it's just, wow. somebody should know better. I mean, if you've ever read a Socratic dialogue, as related by Plato, of course, because we don't have any of the original Socrates writings.
He didn't write. He believed that, writing would actually cause people to lose their memories and would, result in a loss of knowledge, right?
That was pretty dumb. there were a few ideas of Socrates that were pretty dumb. I mean,
sure, yeah. Surprisingly, it gets still used today. Like online technology is ruining our ability to think, and there might be some grain of truth to that, right?
But he was into selective breeding for people to rule. It was part of his. The dialogue.
It was the roots of democracy, but also democracy for, certain people and not women and not, I shouldn't say not all women, because there was, philosophers back then that were women and quite powerful and that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, but don't forget Sappho. What do we got next? I am so sorry about the audio. That was just daft of me to forget.
Did you redundancy kind of thing so we can still just post it?
Yeah. Well, I'm not recording the video, but I'm recording the audio.
Okay.
So it's a little, New study shows prevalence of unreported Islamophobic incidents against Muslim women in the Greater Toronto Area. This is a University of Toronto study that was promised to be published in January. It's still January, I guess, and I haven't seen it. And I've looked for it. I can't find it.
Okay.
But this University of Toronto study found women rarely report Islamophobic attacks. I hate that word. I wish they'd stop using that. Either physical or verbal. The other part of the problem, of course, is what do they consider an Islamophobic attack.
I don't doubt that happens.
I need
happens.
A definition. I don't, sure. Woman wearing hijab and somebody comes up and says, get that thing off. That's an attack.
Yeah, I'm sure that. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm no fan of the hijab. Okay, I'm not at all. Yeah. But I'm not going to do that to an individual.
Absolutely not.
I'm doing this in the abstract. I am.
Unless you get to, engage in a personal relationship with them where they actually want to talk about that kind of thing. Right.
Oh, they can sure.
But certainly when, go up to somebody at like Safeway or something, say, hey, what the fuck is that thing?
Yeah, that's just plain stupid. Don't do it.
Well, that's just
it's assault.
Stupid and rude and every other non-Canadian value, that's just not our way to do that. But, we can still express our free speech and talk about it, right?
Sure. What happened to this woman when she was in grade 6, Sidra Ahmad, she was asked by her teacher to stand in front of her class and explain her choice. Okay, I don't agree it's a choice, but anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
Then 11 years old, Ahmad was the only person who wore a headscarf. That's not what it is. It's a hijab. Let's be specific here, Inner Toronto School.
I think it's a more broad, you know, like, because Catholic women back in the day used to always have their heads covered.
I was wrong too.
Well, I totally agree. But, you know, it's this barrier between you and God as a sign of respect or whatever, as I understood it. So,
or as Linda Sarsour puts it, a sign of modesty and
self-respect. I was going to say there's two, you know, different interpretations on why you would cover your head, but...
The implications, though, are
it's,
very
it's toning down
immodest.
The language, but it's also not false. Do you know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Toning down the language by referring to it as a head covering as opposed to
hijab. Oh, yeah, I disagree with that. That's not right.
Yeah.
Don't just call it a piece
of
cloth.
But it's also, like I said, it's also not false either, because other religions do head coverings, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you can't... Yarmulke is not the same thing, okay? Yarmulke is something like that, isn't covering the hair. I mean, it's not meant as a modesty thing.
Yeah.
Right? It's not part of modesty culture, which I abhor, because it is judgmental in the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that other people that don't do what I'm doing are not modest.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
That's what it says, and they just don't get it. They don't get it.
Yeah.
And
subtlety and nuance are, you know.
They're lost arts.
Also humor.
Yeah, and try being a comic today. It's difficult.
Yeah, like George Carlin, Christopher
Dave
Hitchens.
Chappelle.
Oh, my goodness. You know? So many. And Christopher Hitchens obviously wasn't a comedian, but just the things he said. They still have so much resonance today, and you can also see where he'd be totally attacked, right?
Yep.
In ways that he was, I mean, he was already attacked back in the day, but now in really dishonest ways, I suppose, right? As opposed to engaging his points, you know?
Well, anyway, this article goes on to say, this woman who was questioned in grade six, she didn't realize that things could have been much worse for a Muslim woman in the GTA. Since
GTA.
June, Greater Toronto
okay,
area. Since June, she has been documenting and studying the everyday experience and impact of Islamophobic violence faced by 21 Muslim women in the GTA. These range from being yelled at, sworn at, spit at. Don't do that.
Shit.
And experiencing physical and sexual assault. I want to see this report. First of all, I want to know what they're defining to be Islamophobia. I don't know what that means. It's just a buzz term.
I was going to say, please just reframe it as anti-Muslim bigotry.
Yes.
And we're all going to be fine with that, because we all agree it's happening. We know it's happening. Right? But Islamophobia is such a dishonest buzzword, like you say, right? Yeah.
So it's a qualitative study, okay? So take this with a big grain of salt. Big grain of salt. I don't have much use for qualitative studies. I mean, if you're not going to, I don't know. Because it's all about experiences.
Well, they can launch off into good quantitative studies, too. Like, if they're a small study to see if you ought to engage this question further, it could be the setup for a more empirical study, right?
They should have even a small cohort for a proper, you know, at least semi-quantitative study. But qualitative, you know, it's all about experiences and feelings. Perceptions. That is the crux of the matter. Perceptions are not necessarily accurate.
Reality, yeah.
They're
they're also not necessarily reality too, for lack of a better term. So, like, okay, so even you know, Richard Dawkins will say that feminists who asserted the political becomes the personal, right? Or the personal becomes the political. If enough people are experiencing a phenomenon, then it's time to start asking empirical questions about that phenomenon.
Sure.
Right? And that's often how qualitative studies start out.
I hope it leads to something a little better in terms of data collection, you know?
Yeah.
You know, first define your...
Well, that's why they do... I mean, think about focus groups and marketing, right? That's exactly what's going on there.
Well, sure, small exactly. groups. But yeah. that in there, you, perception is everything, right? So it's a little bit different.
And if you know, if a focus group comes to a certain, you know, if the results of a focus group come to a certain conclusion, sure. either it's worth pursuing further into the empirical realm or it's not. So you drop it, right? They're good initial studies, you know.
If, and that's something. Properly, right? But that's something they don't talk about in this. That you know, at least they mentioned it's a qualitative study.
Yeah.
But you need something a little better when it comes to, you know, social policy, that kind of thing. I just don't find much value in qualitative stuff. But then again, I come from the hard sciences where
I don't think a qualitative study would be necessarily taken seriously in social policy unless that study were carried on to demonstrate empirically the claim that's being, you know, interrogated.
M103, Islamophobia. Motion 103, Islamophobia.
Yeah, I know. Ridiculous.
So you got to be careful. Yes, these qualitative things can have a life of their own. And
sure, yeah.
But
yeah, again, anti-Muslim bigotry captures that term.
What was wrong with that? Yeah, what was wrong with anti-Muslim bigotry? That's a because reasonably request.
Apparently conservatives were the ones putting it forward. And I'm just like, wait a minute. Even the media was framing it as a conservative thing that, you know, I'm like, no, I'm not conservative at all. And I know it's bullshit, right? Like, listen to people from those societies, right? The few voices that we have that have left those societies that are critical of them, we need to listen to those people. You know, like Faisal and you know, people in our social sphere, right, that are willing to criticize, even, you know, well, she's not in my social sphere, but Ayaan Hirsi Ali, like, why do people not listen to her, and yet they listen to Linda Saussure, right? Makes me want to shower
Right now. You know, come on, Chris. Ayaan Hirsi Ali is just a shill for the conservative feminists.
Yeah, even though she's experienced FGM herself and forced marriage, and don't take her seriously. You know,
Hazen can suck it. I have no
now
problems.
You're getting personal.
I have no problems bringing up his name in this because he put it on the Facebook page and he actually said that. I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow.
Well, he said personal? She was anti-feminist. Anti-feminist.
Yeah.
Like, people that think Ayaan Hirsi Ali is anti-feminist.
I'm glad he's no longer on the podcast.
Well, let's not get too slaggish here or whatever tonight, but, you know, yeah.
No, I've been meaning to bring this up.
I disagree with that opinion.
What? Well, yeah, well, no kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't believe he said that. That's like, that's the dumbest thing I've read in a while. I just couldn't believe it.
I know I was floored when I, you know, because I think I was the one who was engaged in that argument with him.
Yeah,
I brought it up, and I'm just like, what?
Yeah, and I was like,
as Sam Harris would say, eyebrow shooting to the back of my head, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was just like, I can't believe, it's just another example of social justice rotting someone's mind. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I mean, all of a sudden that person, you know, he had a high opinion of Ayaan Hirsi Ali for a long time.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden this, I'm like, whoa, what happened? Well, he disagreed with her all of a sudden. That's it.
Yeah. And suddenly she's anti-feminist.
Suddenly she's the Antichrist.
As though.
No, I don't have a problem bringing his name into this. Not at all. It's public.
I kind of do.
He made it public. When he put it on the Facebook page, he made it public. And I reserve the right to use anybody.
That's a long time ago now, right? Yeah.
It still sticks in my mind because it was the funniest thing I'd read in a long time. Well, and the dumbest thing I'd read in a long time. Unbelievable. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
And framing. Okay.
Go ahead.
In for a dime, in for a dollar. He framed himself as an expert in feminism.
As an expert in anything. I'm not an expert. You don't get to do that.
You don't get to do that. Other people can do that for you, but you don't get to do that. You know, like if you've got this, like an academic credential kind of thing, you earn that and it's bestowed mm-hmm. upon you by others. You don't just say, hey, I'm an expert in this, right?
Yeah, I remember that exact interchange.
And I really take exception to that, you know?
And you should, because
he's
misrepresenting himself.
Yeah, and I know we took a few courses and that kind of thing, as did I.
Big deal.
And we both came to different conclusions, having taken one in common in particular. And
well, let's put it this way. You came to reasonable conclusions, and he didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
seriously.
That's fair. Yeah, because there's a really interesting body of feminist literature, and some of it's just nonsense, and some of it's really compelling and interesting and progressive, right? In terms of, you know, even advancing science, that kind of thing, right? Huh?
That word, progressive.
Well,
anyway.
okay, not progressive in the political sense, but as a progressive paradigm in terms of, you know, advancing their thinking.
The problem with people that say progressive is that when you take a look at it, it actually is regressive.
Well,
especially
that's not the way I was using the word.
No, I know.
Yeah. Because, for example, if you look at medical history and that kind of thing, right? In the, you know, there were certain, you know how you go to the doctor's office and there's always like an image of, you know, the human body and blah, blah, blah kind of thing, right? So certain drawings in the, 1800s and that kind of thing showed women with elongated necks and tiny waists because that was kind of the fashion mm-hmm. of the time. People would wear, you know, so the, to point out that this is not the representative illustration of the woman's body. Yeah. You know, and women being kind of held to the standard of the male, right? So there was an instance in, I think it was the 70s, where they tested a particular heart medication, but the only population he used was men, right? So they give this to women, and of course women exhibit things differently with a heart attack. And it turned out that medication was not at all helpful for women, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, in terms of like feminism being brought into the sciences, and there's so many examples. I could recommend books, I suppose, but it has been progressive, and that's a progressive paradigm, not progressive
right,
politically.
Right, because it's evidence-based, that's why.
Yes, Yeah.
I want to play something. Unfortunately, you're only going to get the audio, but
okay.
I've been playing around with... by the way, February 1st is National Hijab Day. Somebody decided it was National Hijab Day, and I'm just going to...
I looked into that, and I can't remember the exact details, but
Here it is. Here's a picture of it. There it is. We can do it, too. Strong in hijab. We're going to see how... Isn't that just terrible? Like, I'm all for not being an asshole and telling people don't wear the hijab. Well, no, in an abstract, of course I'm going to say that. But I'm not going to tell anybody in person, but don't do this crap.
Yeah.
Come on.
If you're going to do that shit, at least, you know, acknowledge your sisters in other regions in the world who are forced to wear
it's
it.
It's funny how
right?
they don't do that. It's amazing.
They just don't.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So,
it's a symbol of freedom. Well, go to my stealthy fucking freedom and see what you think about it then. Right?
Yeah, it's Yeah, freedom is slavery. Where have I heard that before? Oh, yeah, it was Orwell's 1984. So I made a new character, video character. I've been experimenting in 2D animation, and I have created a new character called the Regressive Left Dictionary. It's there to help all you, all us dweebs interpret what social justice progressives are actually saying. And so this is in honor of National Hijab Day. Here it goes.
Hi, I'm the Regressive Left Dictionary. You'll be seeing a lot more of me. February 1st is National Hijab Day. That's the day we honor all the countries in the Middle East that make women cover their hair in the name of Islam. Wearing a hijab for 5 minutes gives a woman the same magical feeling she would get living in Iran for her whole lifetime. Now that's progressive. We all know that men simply can't control themselves at the sight of even one strand of hair. Harvey Weinstein wouldn't have gotten in all that trouble if women would just hide their hair. But why stop there? We can be even more progressive and make women cover everything. We need to turn North America into one big old game of Pac-Man with ghosts running around all over the place. But only when they're escorted by a male family member. Till next time. Does this burka make me look fat?
There we go.
You're evil.
I'm totally evil, yeah. I just came up with the monologue of that in 5 minutes or something, so it needs some work. But that's kind of what's coming down the pipeline in the podcast, I think. It's doing more animations. Yeah. I enjoy
Beach,
doing that.
Beach says she loves it, and have you got a clip of this on Twitter that can be shared?
Wait until I have massaged this and gotten a little bit more in the way of the animation. I've only done the mouth so far.
Okay. Oh, and she says send it to Atheist Republic. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'll rework the dialogue, but it needs some work. But it expresses pretty much in a very sarcastic way, which is my nature. The whole what I think about the hijab and Linda Sarsour, I just cannot stand that woman. Just cannot.
The fetishization of modesty culture
and the engagement in dawah, you know, the Islamic apologetics.
Yeah,
I know what she's doing.
Which are super naive compared to Christian apologetics. At least they've had a bit more time to cultivate, and the Islam apologists are kind of trying to take up those same Christian apologist arguments.
So, yeah.
Yeah. They're a little more behind the ball, I guess, right? They haven't had the benefit of time.
Yeah.
To cultivate those arguments. Like,
they're the same arguments, though. Yeah. That's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
They're
exactly
the same.
Yeah. Hey, come here. Sorry, dog. Come here.
I don't have many cats here. Oh, they're all I got. I got one. I got one, but he's way far away. Yeah, and of course, that whole thing in this is one something that Francesca, MTV Decoded. They, yes. I'm going to save this for the next episode because we're having an ex-Muslim on who does not like the burqa or the hijab very much, and this is a video by MTV's Decoded, Francesca, what's her name? Francesca Ramsey.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And hey. The Worskis love Francesca.
They're, they're doing more like streams, which I find kind of boring, right? You know?
Yeah. Well, this is a really lame, a lot of lame humor in it.
Yeah.
Really lame.
I know. Yeah.
And they're not very good arguments. You know, like, they choose to wear the hijab. I mean, sorry, if you interpret your religion in a particular fashion, and that's not really a choice. And it's not like, oh, gee, I'm not going to wear high heels today.
Again, it's a North American privilege of the choice as opposed to elsewhere in the world where it's not a choice, right?
Yeah.
And the obscenity almost in, the obscenity.
They did pay pay lip service to the to the lack of choice in the Muslim world.
Yeah.
No, that's wrong too. Okay. But the thing is, the whole concept of the hijab, you know, the philosophy behind it, the theology, I reject the theology of it out of hand, but the philosophy behind it, that you must be modest so that men don't attack you. Oh, my goodness.
That the bigotry of low expectations, right? As Majid Nawaz would say. Right?
Yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah. Well,
men can't control themselves, and women have to be responsible to control men.
It's victim blaming is what it is.
Well, can you get more misogynistic than that? Really?
No.
Exactly.
People like Dawa Man, the YouTube sensation, British self-styled imam.
I know who you're talking about, yeah. But
he says that Islam is the most feminist of religions. Yeah, right.
I need more to drink if we're going to go down that
yeah,
road.
Yeah, no, we're not going down that road because, yeah. Oh, yeah. Here's a picture of, I posted this on the Facebook page, the whole modesty culture thing where this woman in a hijab, you can't see anything of her. She's not in just a hijab. She's in robes, it seems. She's going up to heaven, on stairway to heaven. And the other woman who's hot and hasn't got her hair covered is going to that fiery door, that place of hell,
Seriously? Twyla's observation. If she's going to hell, shouldn't she be going downstairs,
yeah.
not up, right?
Yeah, the problem is that you could start her higher up and then she can go down, but yeah. But then she starts higher up. So you can't do that because that is symbolic of having the moral high ground at the time where she started. I don't know. Whatever.
But yeah.
Did you hear about the L'Oreal and they made history. I love this, by casting hijab wearing model in hair campaign.
Oh yeah. But did she not get fired or something for saying anti-Semitic remarks or something?
Basically declined it because she made anti-Israeli tweets in 2014. I mean, seriously, a hair company. is this not counterproductive to have a woman in a hijab who's hiding her hair?
Oh, I know. I know they have hair under
the
hijab.
But they're so progressive.
And they do wash it, and I'm sure it looks lovely and all, but...
Well, did you ever see the video?
Did you ever see the... Marketing 101, fail.
There's a video of a company that sells a shampoo that women can use while they're wearing the hijab.
While they're wearing the hijab?
While they're wearing the...
You mean they're in the shower with a freaking hijab?
She wasn't in the shower, but she was wearing a hijab, and she was on her... washing her hair through the hijab with some kind of shampoo.
Wow.
And she had this look. I should get the video and put it up. When she was smelling it, she made these fluttery eye movements, almost like an orgasm.
Oh,
and I thought,
viral thing. Yeah, yeah.
That, like, wow, is that not haram?
Okay, so Beach has just said to us, it's like a nail polish ad using gloves.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly what it is. It's it's daft.
Wow.
Who thought of this? Who was? Why are they not sacked? It's amazing.
Because I guess one would think they're targeting, expanding their target market. Right. But like I said, it violates.
Why do you need?
Law of marketing or rule of marketing.
What does the hijab? OK, if you're a woman who's a Muslim and wears a hijab, what does having somebody who wears a hijab selling marketing your products add to anything? Because the product is for hair.
Yeah.
What does somebody having a hijab? This isn't inclusivity. This is exploitation, in a way.
I'd have to agree with you. Yeah,
it's marketing exploitation.
Well, marketing is exploitation, but this is particularly a great.
I just don't understand.
Instance of that, I would say. Right?
I just don't understand targeting people who wear a hijab. It doesn't make sense to me because they have hair too.
Yeah.
They understand this. I mean, I'm sure. I don't know. But I love that hair shampoo, the hijab shampoo thing. You can apply it over your hijab. And I'm just like, what?
Kidding.
It was a real thing. And I'm just like, wow. But we don't know what the actual tweets were in 2014. So nobody seems to know what those were. Okay. But she wrote in a tweet, I deeply regret the content of the tweets I made in 2014 and sincerely apologize for the upset and hurt that they have caused. Championing diversity is one of my passions. I don't discriminate against anyone, even though, except unless you're Jewish or something. I don't discriminate. Oh, yeah, I read that. I have chosen to delete them as they do not represent. This sounds like Linda Sarsour. Delete them as they do not represent the message of harmony that I stand for. You want to explain then why that you made them? Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, I recently took part in a campaign which excited me because it celebrated inclusivity. Did it? Debatable. With deep regret, I've decided to step down from this campaign because the current conversation surrounding it detract from the positive and inclusive sentiment that it set out to deliver.
Can you give me like 2 minutes? Because
we're almost, we're pretty much done.
Okay.
Huh? We're pretty much okay. done. Yeah, that okay. was it. That's all I got. I mean,
yeah. Me too.
I'm sorry about the sound. I will have the audio up. I'm jelly because I don't record the video usually because it's a massive thing.
Yeah.
But that's it for this evening episode.
Yeah, 24. And we'll be back. We'll what be back. Mess.
I'm thinking the next one. Today is what? 28th? Yeah. It's 2 weeks, and we're going to have an ex-Muslim on, and we're going to talk about the hijab and what it means and why it's a really, really bad idea. Not like it's disagreeing with anything we have to say, but I'm not here as a neutral party, so I don't care if...
Yeah.
I'm not...
We're commentators,
I am not a journalist, so yeah, if I'm presenting news. My point of view and I have people on, well, too bad.
Yep.
It's my choice. My damn podcast.
Exactly.
So the the criticism of that you've told me about that what was it again?
What do you mean?
The criticism of the podcast you told me once was that we only present ideas that we agree with.
I don't remember that, but I'm not surprised. When was that? That must have been a long time ago.
No, it was not long ago at all.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, is that surprising to you?
I don't care. I just don't. Yeah. It's exactly. Yeah. I'm not here as a journalist. I'm here to present a point of view and a specific point of view.
Yeah.
I have opinions.
I'm here to agree with you or to disagree with you, as the case may be. And, you know, we've got three of us and guests and that kind of thing. And, there's room for argument and
well, the thing interpretation is,
I
really don't think I could have somebody like Steve Shies on without throttling through the
he wouldn't join you anyway. You'd probably be blocked by him a long time ago,
I mean I'm being hypothetical, of course. But somebody like that, I don't think I could handle it. I just
couldn't. Me too. I might be able to
I had a hard time when we had the pro-life atheist. Or excuse me, anti-choice atheist. Let's be specific. It's anti-choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because,
But it was interesting. I enjoyed it. You know, I had fun. She did bring up some pretty good points about the broader social context and how to help women and that kind of, I don't agree with her fundamentally on the, pro anti-abortion thing or whatever, right? Anti-choice. But she did bring up some interesting policy things like,
that have nothing to do with abortion.
Well, universal child care,
That has nothing to do with abortion.
That was a very, maybe women might think, twice if they had better access to, child care and that kind of thing before they, I can accept that argument.
My biggest problem with her position that all this would go away if all these things were taken care of. And I'm like, no, it wouldn't.
Exactly. No, of course not. There'd be back alley abortions, just like there's always been through time and history,
And there are people who simply do not want to have children. That's it. What do you do about them? They're, like, no amount of child care is going to take that away.
Yeah.
But they're stuck with it, and that's exactly why I said that you're actually penalizing women for getting pregnant, for having sex.
Yeah.
And she says, no, I'm not. I'm like, yes, you are. Because it doesn't matter whether she thinks that. That's de facto what happens.
Yeah.
And I say no.
Yeah.
I don't care what women's reasons are for having an abortion. That's absolutely not within my purview. I just don't care.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's not my, yeah. Not my place to say anything. And it's only between her and her doctor. That's it.
Yeah.
So.
Totally agree. Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
After you deal with this.
It is time to go to bed. My voice is getting hoarse. I've kind of had a
good night, some Beach. Kind of a virus. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. One person,
in the,
yeah.
Chat.
One yeah. person seeing us, yeah.
We didn't put any pressure to her to phone in phone, or anything
not this
like
time.
That.
Yeah.
No, not this time. The, next time.
I've just been a screw up tonight, so there we go. But anyway, I'll fix it somehow.
Okay. Good okay. night.
Good night, everybody. I'm going to hit the closing. Okay. You've been listening to the Legion of Reason Diversion coming to you from Alberta, Canada. If you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing to our bi-weekly podcast on iTunes and other podcatchers. Even better, subscribe to our YouTube live sessions where you can join in on the discussion. Thanks for giving us a listen.